Morning. You'll turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. We're going to start there this morning. We're going to start by talking about the young prophet. So, just a little history, back us up. Daryl had talked about King David, Saul obviously being the first king. David took over after him, and then his son Solomon took over. Solomon was a good and wise king, but kind of turned from God later in his life, something we'll talk about a little bit later. He died, and his son Rehoboam took over. So Rehoboam had a choice of listening to his father's counselors or his buddies, and he listened to his friends, and they gave him a message to give to the people, which the people rejected. He was going to make their lives hard, and he lost the majority of the kingdom, and King Jeroboam took over 10 tribes. Rehoboam was left with two, and Jeroboam had been told by God that he would receive these tribes, that he would be taking part of the kingdom, and he was told that if he would serve God and be faithful to God, that his sons would be on the throne for as long as the kingdom lasted. And all he had to do was seek God and serve God. But instead, he was concerned that the people would go back to Jerusalem to worship and that they would turn back to Rehoboam. And so instead, he rejects God, he builds these altars at Dan and at Bethel, and he starts this idolatry in the kingdom of Israel that lasts throughout the nation's history. This picture, actually, is of the altar at Dan. So these are the ruins of what is left of the altar at Dan that Jeroboam set up. We're going to read about the altar at Bethel, and we'll see why in the reading we don't have images of the ruins of the altar at Bethel. But I do want us to kind of see that's what's going on. So Jeroboam has set up these idolatrous idols. He's set up these altars of worship to a false god, and God is sending a messenger to him. So 1 Kings chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Now behold, a man of God from Judah went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he, that's the man of God, cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places and burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. Verse 11. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. Then he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. So he saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on. And went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? He said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. He said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. Verse 19. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by his corpse. So what happened? Why did this man of God who came from Judah ignore God's commands after he had been obeying them? He had listened to God, he had done what God had said, and then suddenly he stopped. He was lied to, that much is for sure true, but God still held him accountable. God still punished him and held him accountable for believing the lie and not listening to what God had told him. So I think that there's a parable that we can read about that kind of explains what happens here with this prophet. So I think there's a parable. I want us to look at this parable and see how it makes sense and how it plays out in this. So turn now to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 4. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. And the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9. Then the disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fall among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So let me just tell you how I've looked at this particular parable before, and you have to tell me if it sounds familiar to you. So Jesus is speaking to the sowers of the word and telling them what's going to happen when they go and they share the word. So the target audience here is sowers. That's who Jesus is talking to. This is an evangelistic parable. It's a parable that kind of tells us about preaching the word. Its purpose is to prepare us for the different responses people will have to the gospel. That's Jesus' purpose here in this parable, is to tell us how people will respond to the gospel. That's the purpose here. Now, does that sound familiar to you? Okay. I don't think that's what's happening here. So now I'm going out on the limb, Daryl. This is it. I don't think that's the purpose of this parable, and I'm going to tell you why. I have been thinking about this parable specifically for the past couple of months and just kind of running it through in my mind. And I've started calling it to myself the parable of choices, because I think that's really what's going on here. And so let's look at what's happening and see that. So first of all, the parable is explained to his disciples, but it's spoken to the multitude. Right? So it's not the disciples that he tells the parable to. It's the multitude. Back in verse 4, when a great multitude had gathered. And it's the same way in every account. So if Jesus is speaking to the multitude, then the message has to apply to the multitude. Right? If he was just speaking to his disciples, then it might make sense for this just to be about preaching the word and how you share the word. But it's got to be a message that applies to the multitude. And if it's not a message for the sowers, if he's not teaching the sowers, then who's he talking to? What are we supposed to identify with in this, if not sowers of the seed? And if we're not identifying with the sowers of the seed, then we've got to be identifying with the soil and the different types of soil that he talks about. So the message that you will respond differently to the gospel, all kinds of people are going to respond differently to the gospel. If he's telling me that, that doesn't really teach me anything to tell me that different people will respond differently. That doesn't change my behavior. It doesn't inform me about how I need to live. So what it's about is about choice. So this parable is telling us that we get to choose how we respond to the word of God. That's what I think this parable is about. You get to choose how to respond to God's word. What type of soil will you be? And it's not a one-time choice, because I don't encounter God's word just one time. It's not a one-time choice. I get to choose how I respond every time I encounter the word of God. Every single time I encounter it, I need to make a decision about how I'm going to respond to that word of God. And God leaves the choice up to me. I get to decide. In James chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. James tells us, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We have to continue to receive that implanted word. We have to continue to choose to follow what the word tells us. We continue to choose every time we come into contact with that word. And so it's not that I am stony soil, or I am good soil, and that's just what I am forever. I am what I choose. I'm a product of the choices that I make. Now, the choices that I make are going to affect what goes into my heart, and then I'm going to choose what's in my heart. So my choices will reflect what's in my heart. But the more bad choices that I make, the more that I reject the word, the harder it is for me to be turned to it. But I am what I choose. Right? Because the other is this idea that we don't have a choice, that we're just whatever kind of soil, and this guy just rejected it because he's just stony soil. Well, no, he made a decision, and you made a decision, and I made a decision, and I have to keep making decisions, and I have to continue to choose to follow God's word. So it's about choices, and it's about God giving us the ability and the opportunity to choose, to decide what we'll do with his word. So let's look at that in the word of God. So let's look at that back in this story that we just read in 1 Kings chapter 13. And this is a really good kind of illustration of this, right? Because we know what God told this prophet. And it never changed. God gave him instructions when he left Judah. In verses 1 through 3, right? He told him what to say to Jeroboam. He told him about what to say about Josiah, about the altar, the sign that he would say. He gave him instructions. I want you to go and deliver this message to Jeroboam. I want you to go and deliver this message. And verse 9, I also don't want you to eat bread or drink water or return the same way you came. Clear instructions given to the prophet as he left Judah. This is what you need to do. And so he goes, and Jeroboam offers him food, and he refuses. That's good soil. Right? Verses 7 through 10. Jeroboam offers him a reward too, and he refuses. He says, no, God has told me that I cannot do this. God has instructed me not to eat or drink here. And so he's good soil. And then the old prophet comes, and he offers him food and refreshment. Verses 15 through 17. And again, he refuses. No, I can't do that. God told me no. This is what the word of God said. He's good soil again. And then the old prophet lies. And the lie of the old prophet doesn't change God's word. And you'll notice when God condemns him, when God speaks to him, in verse 21, he says, you have not kept the commandment that I gave you. I told you what to do, and you did not accept it. So in this story, he's good soil, and he's good soil, and then he's bad soil. He takes the exact same word and makes a different choice. He chooses to reject the word of God in favor of the cares of this world. He picks something different. He picks something different than what God had said. And so each opportunity, each opportunity we have is a new chance to choose how we're going to respond to God's word. So the word, as it comes into our lives, as we encounter the word, we get to continue to choose. What will we do with it? How will we respond to it? Will we continue to be good soil? Will we be bad soil? And we choose it every time. So let's look at some application for us. So first of all, there's no growth and there's no fruit without the seed. Right? The seed is the word of God. And if I don't have the seed, I cannot grow and I cannot be fruitful. That's where it comes from. So if I've got a packet of seeds and I leave that packet of seeds, I have in my potting shed, I don't know what to call it, a potting shed, no potting goes on in there, but I have packets of seeds that are sitting in my shed and they are many years old. Do you know how many things I've grown from them? Nothing, because I never planted them, because they're just sitting in the packets and they're unopened. I meant to bring one. I forgot. They're unopened. Right. And so they're not producing anything. I got no cucumbers. I got no peppers. I got no onions. I got nothing because I never planted them. And so if the seed doesn't come into us, if the seed doesn't make contact with my heart, then there's no growth that can take place and certainly no fruitfulness. So I need to encounter God's word constantly. The more I encounter God's word, the more opportunity I can choose to be good soil and I can bear fruit. So Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy, Moses' death address, as he kind of reminds the people about what God has done for them. He instructs them what to do going forward. Really talks a lot about this idea of holding on to the word of God, holding on to the instruction of God. In chapter 11, in verse 18, he says, therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Come into contact with them in every way. Put them in your heart. bring them to yourself. Remind yourself of what it is that God's trying to tell you. Because as I come into contact with it, I can choose to be good soil and I can choose to be fruitful. But if I'm not in contact with that seed, with that word of God, then I cannot do what God wants me to do. I cannot be righteous like we've talked about before. I cannot obey my king if I don't come into contact with his word. I also need to bring that word constantly into my life, because sometimes the first time I hear it, I'm not ready to make that change that God's calling me to make. Sometimes my heart hasn't grown, or my understanding hasn't gotten to the place where I'm ready to do what God wants me to do. And so I need to keep bringing that word in. That's why we continue to read the same passages and continue to get more things out of them. Because our soil, the more that we prepare it for the word of God, the more that we choose to follow him, the more fertile it can be and the more that can grow out of it. In chapter 31, Deuteronomy chapter 31, in verses 19 through 21, God's giving them this song to remember as they go into the land. He says in verse 19, "Now therefore write down the song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, and they turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness. And it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them." So he says, I want you to hold on to this, because you're going to make decisions and you're going to make bad choices. And if you've held on to this word, then when you're making a bad choice, you can remember what it is that I've told you. Or as you continue to look and you look and examine your life, you can make a different choice. You can choose to start serving God, or you can choose to listen to what he's telling you this time. Maybe something you haven't heard before. Maybe you haven't considered it. But now that you've made yourself fertile ground, now you can make a different choice than you've made before. So why do you choose to be bad soil? And this really goes back to the explanation that Jesus gives for this. So you don't want to hear what God is telling you. Bottom line, you don't choose to hear it. You choose not to understand. In this account, the same account of the parable of the sower in Matthew, Matthew adds an additional kind of piece to this. In Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 19, when he's talking about those that reject the word, or those that are on the wayside, on the road. Verse 19, "When anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside." Why don't they understand it? Why don't we understand it? Because we don't want to. Why don't I accept it? Why don't I choose to respond to God's word? And it's because I don't want to understand it. I don't want to change my life. I don't want to do what God's telling me to do right now. So I'm going to act like, or I'm going to convince myself that that's not what God's saying, that that's not what God wants. And I'm going to choose not to understand. And I can always find a reason. You can always find a reason to reject God's truth. Even the plainest truths can always be rejected by you. You will be able to figure it out. You will be able to find a way, even when it's very clear and plain what God wants, a reason, a way to reject it. Why else? Because I'm not committed, fully committed to doing what God's word requires. I'm not willing to give up everything. You're not willing to give up everything. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Jesus says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." as Daryl said, this is a king that demands everything from us. And I'm not fully committed to doing whatever it is that God wants me to do, to giving up whatever it is that God wants me to give up. However precious we may find that relationship with God now, at some point, God is going to call for a sacrifice that we don't want to give. At some point, God is going to ask us to give up that thing that we don't want to give. Think about the rich young ruler, right? What did Jesus ask him to give up? His wealth. Because that was the thing he wasn't willing to give up. He was willing to serve God. He was willing to follow the commandments. He was willing to do all these things. But Jesus says, you have this thing that you will not sacrifice for God. And that's what's required. That's what's necessary for you. And that will happen to each and every one of us. And so I've got to prepare myself and I've got to choose that whatever it is that God asked me to give up, it's all His. I'm going to surrender everything in my mind now. So whenever God calls on me to give up that thing, I don't have to think about it. It's already done. Why else do you reject it? Because you choose this word, this world, over God's word. You think that you're going to be better off, right? This goes back to our desires. You desire the things of the world instead of the things of God. You don't take pleasure in the things of God. You take pleasure in the things of the world. More pleasure in the things of the world. We know we can't serve both those things at the same time. At some point, we're going to have to make a decision. In Deuteronomy again, chapter 8 and verse 3. I know Jerry puts the verses on here, but I'm going to make you look them up. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, right? God tells them through Moses, this is the reason for the manna. This is what I was doing. This is what I was trying to teach you. And what I was trying to teach you, verse 3, he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That I have got to feed myself, I have got to content myself with the things of God. What he tells me from his word is good, that when he tells me what is best for me, that God knows best from his word. And weeds are going to creep in. The things of the world are going to creep in. And I've got to be vigilant and say, all right, here's another situation. Let me go back to that word and let me make sure that I'm making myself good soil. Let me continue to choose again and again and again and again that I'm going to reject the things of the world and I'm going to choose the things of God. But I have to do it every single time. Every single time. And that brings us to some bad news and some good news. So I'm going to start with the bad news. And the bad news is, no matter how you've chosen to respond to God's word in the past, you can make a different choice. And we can see that in the life of Solomon. I'm not going to read this account, but if you haven't read about Solomon, then 1 Kings chapter 11, you can also read about him in 2 Chronicles. But he sought God. He sought God. He desired God. God gave him wisdom. More wisdom than any man who had ever lived before. God gave him wisdom to understand him, to understand his word. And he grew close to God through that wisdom. But then he chose to reject God. The wisdom didn't go away. God never came and said, all right, you can't have this wisdom anymore. He retained that wisdom, still knew what God wanted, still had the word of God, but he chose differently. He chose instead his wives. He loved many wives. That's how the chapter starts. King Solomon loved many foreign wives, and they turned his heart. He chose to turn away from the wisdom that God had given him, the understanding that God had given him, and God's word late in his life. And so he ended up away from God, even though he had been with him. Or you could look at King Joash in 2 Chronicles. I do want to point out a verse here in 2 Chronicles, so you might want to flip over to this one, 2 Chronicles chapter 24. So Joash becomes king during the reign of Athaliah in Judah, this daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, right? This very evil woman. Okay? Joash has been rescued. He's been raised by the high priest and by his aunt. He grows up to be this great king that in the midst of all this turmoil coming up after Athaliah, who's torn down the temple and taken the things from it, and the nation has turned to idolatry, and he turns them back. During the days of Jehoiada, his uncle, the high priest, he served God. He sought God. He listened. He chose to listen to God's word during the days of Jehoiada. He even rebuilds the temple. But then, God's word doesn't change, but how Joash responds to it does. Because when Jehoiada dies, instead of continuing the path that he's been following, he chooses to reject God. He chooses to listen to the princes. The princes sway his heart. And God, says in verse 19, sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not listen. Joash had two people to listen to. I got God's word and I got the princes. And Joash says, I'm going to listen to the princes here. Even though he had been listening to God. But he chose differently. He stopped choosing to serve God. So that's the bad news. Here's the good news. No matter how you've responded and chosen to respond to God's word in the past, you can make a different choice now. So no matter what has happened before, you can choose differently now. So consider King Manasseh in 2 Chronicles. He's this wicked king. He served idols, even in the temple. In the very temple of God, the temple that Solomon had built, Manasseh is serving idols, is worshiping idols. In verse 10, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Same thing that happened late to Joash. Here is happening early to Manasseh. He would not listen to God. He refused. God tried to deliver his word and he was bad soil. He chose to reject God's word. But then God takes him into captivity and Manasseh chooses to humble himself. And so God's word continues to come. It's no different. It's not a different word. It's the same word. But he finally chooses to humble himself. He finally chooses to respond and he becomes good soil and he comes back and he removes the idol and tries to bring the people back to God. He makes a good choice. It's the same word. He just makes a different choice. Or consider Saul of Tarsus. Right. Let's look at this one. Acts chapter 19. Saul of Tarsus turning away from God. Right. Thinking that he's doing what God wants. He's thinking that he's pleasing God. He's persecuting the church that's established by God. He's opposing God, but he thinks he's doing what's right. So he's persecuting the church. He's opposed to God. But then God's word is intended to bring him to Christ, right? But he chooses to be bad soil that opposed God. So Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 tells us that the law, verse 24, the law is our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The purpose of the law was to bring people like Saul of Tarsus to God. But Saul of Tarsus rejects that and is bad soil and says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to oppose the things of God. I'm going to oppose the church that God has established. But later, he chooses to hear and chooses to follow God's word. And interestingly enough, from the scriptures, he's rejecting God. He's rejecting the church. Now we get to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, in verses 2 and 3, when he's in Thessalonica, and Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating from the scriptures that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Do you see the word never changed? The word was supposed to bring him to Christ, and it didn't. Because he chose not to accept it. He chose not to hear it. But then the word brings them to Christ, and he's now looking at this same word and saying, look, it shows that Jesus is the Christ. It shows what had to happen to the Christ. The word never changed, but his heart did. He chose to do something different. He chose to respond differently. All right, so I have to throw this in there. Is there an evangelistic message? Yeah, for sure. Because you can never tell what soil someone will choose to be this time. This time. Last time they were bad soil. But what about this time? Maybe this time something has changed in their life. Maybe this time they're going to make a different choice. And so then I have to be tireless in presenting God's word. There's still an evangelistic message. Because maybe they'll be good soil this time. Right? That's what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy about this idea of being tireless with the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Preach the word, be ready, in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. Continue to be patient, because maybe this time they'll listen. Because maybe this time they'll make a different choice. Because maybe this time they'll be like Manasseh, or they'll be like Saul, and they'll hear it and they'll respond. The word doesn't change, but our choices do. So, God demands and deserves fruitfulness. He deserves it. It's what we should give to him. It's what he deserves. But I've got to choose to be good soil every time I encounter his word. Every single time I encounter the word of God, I have to make a choice. And I have to choose whether I'm going to accept it or whether I'm going to reject it. So I've got to make that choice. And maybe the word is calling on you today to make a different choice than you've been making. Maybe the word is touching you. Maybe in the past you've chosen not to understand. You said, I don't want what God wants from me. I don't want what God is offering. And maybe today you want to choose something different. Maybe today you want to choose to obey his gospel. Maybe today is the day that you're going to choose to respond to his call. Or maybe you've been choosing the rocks and the weeds. And you've been choosing the things of this world. And you've been choosing a half-hearted commitment. You've been choosing distraction. You've been choosing other things than God. And you want to stop doing that. You want to choose something different now. You want to choose to be good soil. Choose to be soil that accepts God, that follows him. Soil that is fruitful to him as he deserves. If you're subject to that invitation call, I invite you to come forward while together we stand and sing.